When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
All right, guys, I don't know what's going on, but you seem to be obsessed with Alaya Naturals. And so Shauna Ryder, the founder, has her own relationship with all of you now and would like to offer you a discount to all podcast listeners. What is it, G? It's JM Pod. So you literally go to alayanaturals.com, and if you enter JM Pod, P-O-D, J-M-P-O-D, you'll get 15% off your entire purchase. That's alayanaturals.com, A-L-A-Y-A, naturals, N-A-T-U-R-A-L-S.com. Who's a big worrier in this group? I don't feel like you are, G.
I used to be, not anymore.
I feel like you were like, I've done everything I can do, and now I'm going to step away from this and like go for a walk, or like,
yeah,
you take mental space.
Yeah,
I used to worry, not as much anymore.
Lori worries a lot.
It does nothing for you.
I'm guessing you worry like crazy, Jake.
I think I used to. I don't know how much I do anymore. Is anxiety worry?
Yes.
Well, not if it's chemical, though. You could be having a great time.
But it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. So, like, that's what's interesting about this, about neuroplasticity, which I was going to say concept. It's not a concept. It's real. In that, like, you get worried about something, right? And it creates a chemical state. And it becomes like I can't remember if I've talked about this on the show. I think I have. But these states emotionally become physical. And then the physical preempts the it becomes a bit of a spider web.
I bet it's a trigger, too. So even if you thought everything
it's
was...
It's a connection, right?
So if you're like, well, nothing... There's no reason that I had this reaction, but it could have been a smell. It could have been a tree.
Oh, well,
could
that's possible.
That's a chemical impression.
Sense memory.
Yeah. It triggers it, yeah.
It could be.
Yeah.
But like, for example, let's say something happens, something terrible. You lose your job. You're depressed, right? Something that's situational could become chemical, clinical, ongoing.
Yeah.
So that, because now you're depressed, right? And then the depression is going to have an impact on your chemistry. The chemistry has an impact on your brain, literally, like the shape of parts of your brain that control worry, anxiety, impulsivity, your frontal lobe, your amygdala, your gray to white brain matter ratio, all can be impacted. And then, by the way, you become wired. So now you're geared for being more impulsive, less of an ability to rationalize and reason. Like, you get predisposed to it. And your brain changes, which is why they say meditation is such a powerful tool.
Yeah.
But it's a vicious, it becomes a vicious cycle, this catch-22 you can't get out of. So it could be a childhood thing, an environment you grew up in, and it was always, oh my God, what's going to happen next, right? Like kids with, OCD is an anxiety issue. My brother had severe OCD. I mean, like flip the switch. And that kind of stuff is like, and he would think like, if I don't flip the switch one more time, somebody's going to die. And it was his way of trying to kind of like control a household that was out of control.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So it's like he's got anxiety. He's prone to anxiety now. He's working on it. He's in therapy. But there are a million reasons we can get this way. And a lot of times we think, oh, it's external. And it could be, you know, it could be like, oh, I had a fire and now I'm dealing with all this shit and it's a nightmare and I'm worried about it. But the bottom line is we could look at all the reasons of like it's something external, it's something internal. It could be whatever it might be. The reality is it can be paralyzing.
Right, because you're essentially building a monster.
Yeah, you are.
Right?
Because yeah, you are.
Because if you think about the things that you have worried about, have they actually happened?
That's the next step. Yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
Happened the way you thought they were going to happen.
Yes.
I have a friend who's a therapist, and he had one of the shows on, it was called Obsessed. That's what it was. Mm. And he said, and we were talking about it one time, and he said, you know, you do that whole, okay, so you're worried about this, and what will happen if that happens? And then what will happen if that happens? Mm-hmm. And what will happen? You just take it down the line. Now, that's all logical. It's all your brain knows this, but it's like knowing that turbulence in an airplane is just like bumps in the road. Your brain knows it. It's not, you're still, if you're scared, you're right. Scared.
Right.
And it's just, it triggers a chemical.
It's
the turbulence
real.
Will trigger an actual physical.
Your brain cannot determine.
Mm. Like for me, so worry and fear are kind of synonymous in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a vague fear, right? Let's call it that. I worry that if I don't do this, this could happen versus, oh my God, something's about to happen in my world.
Right. What's real and what's imagined.
Correct.
And that's the thing is your brain can't tell the difference biochemically, right?
Right, right?
So it's crippling and it's paralyzing. So what do we do? And that's where you've got to look at some of these action steps of like, okay, number one, first, acknowledge this. This is a worry, not an imminent threat. I am worried this could happen, but it's not happening right now.
Right.
So it's like, okay, in this moment, right? Ask yourself, am I safe? Do I have a roof over my head? Is there food in the refrigerator? Like, in this moment, am I okay? Yes or no? If the answer is no, then you're going to have to take immediate action. If the answer is yes, calm down, right?
Yep.
Calm down and acknowledge, I'm worrying. This is not real. Because you're right, G, 90-something percent of what we think is going to happen doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think you have to disconnect from the whirlpool that you're in.
But you need some wins to trust that thought process.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to interrupt the thought pattern.
Right.
Now, if there's something, and then it's like, what can you do to be proactive? Is there something you can do? I lost my job. I'm so worried. Fair. Did you redo your resume? Did you send it out to a bunch of different, you know, job companies?
Search, yeah.
Yeah,
search
like
firms.
Like LinkedIn, whatever. Like all these different, exactly. Like, did you do all that? Have you done everything you can do to be proactive? Because then it's like, all right, so sometimes when I'm laying in bed, I'm like, you know what? Let me just make a list of everything I need to do tomorrow and get it all out on paper. Because then I feel like calm, organized, because a lot of times it's also the unknown and we get overwhelmed.
You just said it. You have to interrupt the pattern, that hamster on the wheel.
Yes.
You have to have it fall off to be able to have that moment of clarity and be like, maybe I'm a little too hyped about what could happen.
I actually did that before I was leaving for New York this past December.
By the way, have you gotten over your jet lag yet? Remember that episode?
Yes. That was a day.
3 hours.
This is weeks.
6 weeks to recover from 3 hour jet lag, from 3 hour time change.
It's hard. Cindy. The struggle is real.
Have some water.
So I was, you know, I get excited and I get hyped and I probably get, I'm probably a little like, do I have everything? And is everything? And I have my
overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed. Exactly. That's, yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. You're right.
Try to identify what is stressing you out.
Well, when I did all that and I was like racing around, I actually said, Cindy, stop.
Yeah.
And I stood still, breathed, and then I was able to get back to a regular pace. And it just, it worked. And it came out of nowhere.
You've got
I
to
just
pause.
Actually said, like, Cindy, stop.
You've got to
Laura's
pause.
Like, what?
And then
you have to.
And put yourself through a series of questions. Like,
yeah.
Okay, what am I really concerned about? Is this concern real? If it is real, or parts of it are, or parts of it aren't, right? Deal with what you can deal with.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if it's like, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed. Okay, I'm overwhelmed about X, Y, and Z. Get your to-do list on paper and organize yourself. Okay, I'm afraid of that like, I'm the economy's bad, the stock market's bad, and then I'm in this, and then I'm going to go out of bed. Okay, that is an internal reality that isn't, you know, that's your fear of apocalypse from other shit that's not happening right now. Yeah. Right now, your food is in the bank, blah, blah, blah. Calm down. Like, practice a meditation. Interrupt the thought pattern. Figure out what's real and what isn't. Identify a worry as a worry. Accept that in this moment, are you safe? If the answer is yes, mm-hmm. you know, calm down. Like, you've got to go through those questions.
So let me ask you a question.
Slowing it down.
There's a common thread here, right? What's your thought on using exercise, working out,
it's a massive
throwing
stress
weights
relief.
Around?
Yeah.
To help you get clarity in those moments.
It helps me. That's
I think
sure.
it helps with the stress, right?
Right. But I'm just saying, like, if that person is having a moment, does it make sense for them to go on a run? Does it make sense for
Depends
them to...
Depends on them. Right? Could meditate, could go on a run.
Go lift
right,
weights.
Right.
Go,
call a friend.
Go.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you've got your coping mechanisms, right?
Right?
So it's like, okay, first you pause. Then you ask the questions. You be proactive about what you can be proactive about. And then you've got your coping mechanisms, and they need to be healthy, not unhealthy. Like, we don't find ourselves at the fridge eating because we're anxious. Call that friend. Go for that run. You know, if you can afford it, do something nurturing. Buy yourself some workout playlist songs, or, well, now you have Apple Music, so it doesn't matter. But, like, make one for yourself. Like, call a friend who's supportive. Like, engage in a hobby. Like, nurture yourself in a way that is life-affirming as opposed to self-destructive. Because then you've got exactly that, right? Like, what can we do? Like, my dog. Like, we were talking about, like, the dog's always in the studio now. Because I'm like, she's old. And I am like, oh, dear God. And I think, like, I look at her little eyes, and they're getting a little cloudy. She's gray. And I'm like, I'm going to f***ing die when we lose this dog. And then I'm like, Jill, you could have this dog for 5 more years, you
That's
psycho.
Right.
You freak of nature. You know, but, like, we've had such a bad couple of years. I'm like, oh, God. Oh, my God. What if I lose 7?
What's next, right?
Yeah. So then I'm like, you know what you can do right now? It's what you said, like, you know, about, like, worrying about your parents. This is a dog, not the same thing. But
no,
but
it is, right?
I'm like,
that's
I take her everywhere now.
Right, that's where it is, yeah. right? Be in the present moment, right?
Yeah.
Because the present
yes.
moment is what you
yes.
have,
yeah.
what you can control. You can't control tomorrow.
And the worrying ruins
yes.
the moment, the present moment.
Exactly.
100%.
And it robs you of it.
And it's 100%. Not going to make losing her
any easier.
Not like, oh, I practiced losing her, I'm okay now.
I know.
I practiced for 3 years.
True.
We made it through another day. Check.
I'm like, it's so true. But it's like, that's all right.
Seven, we're talking about you, mama. I know.
She's Seven's like,
I know. She just can't. She can't be bothered.
Yeah. I think, look, here's what I'm hearing. Slow down.
Yeah.
Disconnect to reconnect. And chill the f*** out, everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science, science-based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian.
Woo! I thought I would do a segment on reducing snoring. Because do you realize that's like a big thing? A lot of people snore. It's a problem.
On planes, getting a massage in like an open room.
Oh, man. I know.
I just tap them.
I've heard it.
Oh, yeah. I just tap them.
Two rows back, I've heard it.
Yeah, they're like, sorry.
If they're next to me, they're definitely getting tapped.
Lou snores, poor little creature. We had her adenoids removed, and the f***ers grew back. We're taking them out again. I'm not kidding. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Did they even take them out to begin with the
right way? I don't even know. I hate this fucking doctor so much.
I'm telling you.
I said to Heidi, I'm like, you don't think we should have got a new doctor?
That's right. Like my buddy that I got a vasectomy 3 times from the same doctor. I'm like,
Ray.
3 times? What was he snipping?
Yes.
And what's wrong with you that you let the same doctor go in there 3 times?
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, snoring. So if you've got a problem snoring, I kind of feel like I need to do one of those, you know what I mean? One of those commercials.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah. I mean, but like.
Like around in the middle of the day or late
at
night.
But yeah, but like honestly, there are answers for real. Like it could be a couple of things. Number one, nasal congestion. So if you've got allergies, like consider using a humidifier or one of those Breathe Right strips.
Do those really work?
I use them when I get super stuffed up. Mine, I'm always stuffy.
So it just like separates their...
No,
it apart, right?
Oh, yeah. I use like a little medicated thing.
Oh.
And like you can even hear it now. Like I'm always a little stuffy. Always stuffy. I think it's... I honestly am not sure, but I wonder if like when I had my nose done as a kid, like I feel like I don't smell much. Like I don't breathe super well.
Maybe you're allergic to dogs.
No. You're smelling those farts that dog's laying.
Just dogs got gas. Yeah, mommy's baby. Yes, you're my little silver fox, yes. So that could be part of it, right? But it could also be, like a lot of times, a lot of people take sleeping medication, like Valium, Xanax, and it relaxes the muscles around your airway, and it causes snoring, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, that freaks me out right now.
Wow, really? Like that can't be good. People are so, and you know what? I don't mean to generalize. I know this is a terrible thing to say. But I don't find that Xers are big pill poppers.
Mm.
I mean, are you?
Well, I grew up with, we didn't even take aspirin at a certain point. We just, like, so no, I'm not. I've never been a
big pill popper. Like, no. But the boomers and the millennials, oh my God. It's crazy. The millennials are like, oh man, I got a Z-bar. Oh yeah, give me half your Zanny, dude.
Yeah.
And then I'll take it. Like, that's their drug. They do those drugs.
Because they all grew up with disorders.
Up, down, up, down. It's like, I can't even, they're all on it. Xanax, Klonopin, Adderall. Like, and I don't even know where they get it from. Well, all of them. And I guess this is like a generalization.
It also must be, though, their parents, when they were kids, went to doctors who believed in... pills for everything.
But what's weird is that the boomers are all on that shit too.
So the boomers are the doctors.
My dad is.
That's what it is. The boomers were the doctors who prescribed it to the Gen Xers or the millennials.
I don't find the Xers are on it.
It's big in like, it starts in like right. college or late high school, like the Adderall thing. You know, and everyone's like, "Oh."
Then they get all study, you all have anxiety. Study.
Then it's
crazy
well, now
anxiety.
Xanax is gonna help me with that. Someone yeah, takes Xanax to come down.
Like it's insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's no wonder they all have all
but
sorts of other.
I mean, I don't mean to sound like again, but like I don't find that Xers. I'm not saying we are perfect. We're totally nihilistic, bitter generation. But
we had other drugs. That's all.
We had other drugs. I feel like back in when everyone was young, they smoked weed or they did cocaine. That was really, and then everyone grew out of that shit. Like, I don't know anybody who's...
No, all
like,
my parents' friends, I remember Quaaludes were big with their friends.
Yeah, but that's
friends.
A boomer thing.
Yeah.
No, that's
yeah,
a, that, that yeah. is a boomer
they were,
thing.
They're all boomers.
Boomers are all on... I mean, like, they are all on pills.
Yeah, pills were...
Like, I'm telling you, like, it's a boomer thing. Like, I don't... Which is irrelevant. But nevertheless, like, I never take that shit.
No.
Like, Valium, Xanax, Klonopin, this one, that one. It's like... When I was flying to Japan, three millennials were like, "Oh, you? I got a this. You want a that? No, I take a this." I was like, "Jesus, you guys, really?"
I just sleep.
I just sleep too.
I mean, like
I just close my eyes and like it's a night of entertainment in my dreams.
Oh my god! Like they're all like, "Holy shit!" I was like, "All right, you know, wow," but. I mean, like, that's kind of scary, dude. If you're snoring because of some sort of medication that relaxes your airways, like, I just don't know. I don't know. I ain't no psychiatrist, but talk to your doctor. You
that
know?
Would, yeah, that would freak me out.
Jesus. You know, another option is, like, change positions, but I don't know how you do that. Like, you don't know you're snoring. Like, I right. move around in my sleep, like... Because Lou, when she would get scared and come in my room, I'm like, man, this kid shakes the freaking walls. And they're like, well, move her. I'm like, move her. And it just flips itself back over. I mean, yeah. like, what do you mean move it? It's huge, by the way. It's almost as big as me. It's bigger. It's about to be bigger than Heidi.
Wow.
And it knows it. It's e-freaking enormous, this child.
Gosh.
I can't believe how big she is, Cindy. She's huge. It is. I feel like I live with a teenager. She's 8 years old. She wears size 12 to 14 clothes.
That's nuts. When did I see her? November?
She's huge.
She was tall then.
She is to the bottom of my nose.
Oh my God.
She's 8 years old.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I just.
And snoring like an old man.
Yeah, I got to get those adenoids out again. But like, you know, and another thing, like, here's another one that's kind of scary, like alcohol. If you're drinking a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But like, what's that? Again, like.
Is that congestion maybe?
I don't know. Let me Google that shit.
My dad snores heavily if he drank that night.
Alcohol is a depressant. Sedative qualities make you feel drowsy, blah, blah, blah. It relaxes things from your mind to your muscles. Same concept as that Valium thing. As a result, these muscles collapse. Holy shit.
Oh, boy.
Right?
This is going
to
freak me out
If you go
more.
To bed after drinking, it relaxes your jaw and your throat muscles, and they collapse onto your airway, restricting airflow and causing snoring. I'm sorry, but that's not a good relax. That can't be right.
Well, get rid of your TMJ, but...
Your body should be functioning in such a way where your hair grows, you breathe,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
all this stuff happens from an involuntary...
Yeah. Yeah.
That shit should not be happening.
Yeah.
No. How to avoid alcohol-related snoring. Let me guess, don't drink so friggin' much. Jesus. Drink
snoring
earlier
is
in the day.
Not,
that's actually what this article says.
Snoring is not an age thing because
sleep on your
kids
side.
Snore, adults snore, teens
yeah.
snore.
But does sleeping...
It's a weight. Like, are you heavy? Or are you on... Like, are you heavy? Is something blocking the airway?
Does sleeping on your side really help?
It says that it naturally opens your airways. But you can use an anti-snoring mouthpiece, right? Which is going to open the airways. You can use a Breathe Right strip. But honestly, if it's something medical that's blocking your airway, like it could even be a polyp, they say. That like when you get in a certain position in your nasal cavity, they could block your airways. Like, go check that shit out.
I just
remember, that's not good.
I remember my grandparents and my
drinking so much or taking drugs. I'm sorry,
yeah,
Cindy, go
no,
ahead.
No, I just remember the snoring is just bringing back when they'd come over my grandparents and my grandmother's sister, and they'd be sleeping over and. The house would shake from the three of them
Jeez.
Snoring. It was so bad.
Dude.
And they weren't they were smokers. Maybe it was that, but it was like
they could have been the medication they were on. It could have been because they were overweight. Because bottom line is something's blocking your airways, right? So it's either you're overweight and that weight is going to do it. It could be that you have adenoids, like kids or even adults, right? Very, very large adenoids that are blocking your airways. You could have a polyp. I just read about that in your nasal cavity that could be blocking you when you breathe. It could be allergies.
But what if their mouth's open?
But
and they're snoring.
Well, think about where you're breathing from. It's the back of your throat.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what it sounds like,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's the back of your throat. So it's something is putting pressure on that, or those muscles are relaxed and blocking the airways. But it's like, dude, if you're taking drugs that are... So, I mean, you know, oh, sleep in a different position, like drink during the day. Oh, you know, get a friggin' breathe right strip or a mouthpiece or a Darth Vader mask. But honestly, like, I think we should take a more upstreamist approach and wonder what the F is going on.
Yeah.
Either lose weight, maybe consider scaling back those medications. Yes, if you need this stuff in the interim or it's allergies, sure, get a little medicated breathe right strip. Because again, I'm always like, something has always got me stuffy. Always. But I mean, other than that, I don't snore though, but I am always stuffy and it's annoying. Something else makes me stuffy, which is a totally different conversation. And it involves, for some reason, I have the exact opposite action reaction. Like when you are intimate with somebody, it should clear your, I get totally, can't breathe. It's the worst.
I think that's something like,
Jillian
therapist.
Needs a snorkel.
I swear to God.
I
literally am like, every time, like totally like can't breathe. I'm like, I don't know why.
Intimacy makes you feel like you're dying. You can't breathe.
Asphyxiation.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian.
All right, everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's like forever in my life. If I can stick with something for longer than 30 days, it's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype. From the support they give to their amazing shape, and best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra, I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now, available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I love it. Email bag. Hit me, old girl.
It's email 10. Let's talk about some workout things. So, Mark writes that he was diagnosed with Scheuermann's or kyphosis in about 2005. I actually had to look this one up. It's a curvature of the spine giving you a hunched back.
Okay.
So he wants to know what exercises you recommend to help get back to a better posture.
God, I mean, look, if he has any sort of medical condition, obviously I need to say talk to your doctor before you do anything, right? And I'm going to ignore the disease part of this for legal reasons and just talk about posture. And the bottom line is we need to strengthen our core. We need to open up our pectorals because we get all tight in the shoulders and the chest from being forward, shoulders up, right? Hunched forward. So our chest muscles get tight and they're not getting stretched and opened up. Our back gets weak, so our shoulders fall forward. So we want to do upper body exercises for back. So close grip pull downs, close grip rows, reverse flies, rotator cuff exercises with a band where you keep your elbows at your side. And you got to use a band, not dumbbells, right? A band so that the resistance is coming from left to right as opposed to up or down. We're not using gravity. So you hold a band nice and tight between your two hands and open your hands up out to the side, keeping your arms at a 90-degree angle, elbows always locked at your rib cage. You can do absolutely wide rows, medium grip rows, Superman, where you lay on the ground, you pull your shoulder blades back and down, and you lift your upper and lower body to engage your back. And then core moves, right? So keep your tailbone tucked, keep your belly button pulled into your spine, and work your core with exercises like plank, for example, and Superman are going to be the most effective. Engage your glutes, walk on your heels, not your tiptoes or the balls of your feet. I mean, there's more to say. Like, it'd be easier if I could assess the individual and see what's going on. Stand more than you sit, but those are the general rules of thumb. And was that quicker than you wanted?
No, I was.
But it's tough without being able to look at the person.
No, I was taking it all in because it's. I think we're all constantly working on keeping our posture, making our posture better and keeping it. So, yes, I'm going to make mental notes on that one myself. So Kayla wants to know about overhead squats. She says, my hands fall forward and my torso falls forward. According to NASM, it would mean my lats are tight, chest and shoulders tight, and calves tight. But today, a CrossFit type trainer told me it was due to weak abs and lats.
It's actually all the above, right? So when you, first of all, I don't love an overhead squat. I don't understand the reasoning for it. I think the risk is not worth the reward. But I mean, let's think about what's happening, right? So what's happening is that you're holding a weight over your head, a barbell. And then as you squat down, like a lot of times because by the way, they're not 100%, they're not covering all the things. So think about it. When you squat down, if it happens to me if I'm not front loaded, meaning I don't have like a dumbbell or a kettlebell or something in front of me, if you've got limited mobility in your Achilles or your hips, what happens is you lean forward so you don't fall backwards. But when you lean forward, of course, the weight you're holding overhead is going to fall forward. So it's most likely a mobility issue. But if you have greater strength in your core, that will help you stay more upright. But it doesn't matter how strong your core is if your hips and your Achilles are tight, right? Because you're still going to be like, oh my God, I'm falling backwards. So, you know, and part of that is that you don't have the mobility for the range of motion either. Because when they're doing these overhead squats, the weight's overhead, but they're squatting all the way down to the ground. So you can't, for me, I can't even squat all the way down to the ground unless I'm front loaded. Because you get what's called a butt wink. So your mobility becomes compromised and your back is rounding. And that's why her weight is falling forward. So you're, even when your core is strong enough, if you don't have the mobility for it, this is going to occur. So honestly, I would tell you, you don't need to be doing this. You know, I would work on your mobility, but there's a much safer and more effective way to squat in the proper range of motion for what your body's flexibility will permit. And the way you know how deep down you should squat, and you can get deeper into the movement if you open up your feet a little bit wider and angle your toes out a little bit more. And sure, a deeper squat is going to be better if you have the flexibility for the proper form. The minute you get that butt wink where your tailbone starts to tuck and you can't maintain a straight back or a straight spine, you are not capable of squatting that low to the ground, period. And you certainly shouldn't be doing it with weight overhead. So I would say if you want to get a greater range of motion, front load the squat with something like a goblet carry, right? Where you have like a weight in front of your chest that you're holding with both hands. Open up your feet a little bit so it'll help with the mobility, because the more narrow your feet are, it's much harder and it requires more flexibility. Work on your flexibility. Yes, you should absolutely be doing that. And of course, yeah, engage your lats so that you're pulling your shoulder blades back. That helps. But if you don't have the mobility, you will fall backwards, and people do it. You've seen all those CrossFit fails. So that's where I'm like, you know, just be careful. If you don't have the mobility and you don't have the strength, you're gearing yourself up for trouble. I wouldn't be screwing around with that unless you have a really well-trained coach who can say, like, stop there, don't go any more weight, like, limit your range of motion to here. But that is what's happening. It's mobility and possibly weaker lats. But again, my lats are very strong. My core is very strong. And if I squatted that low with an overhead, I would fall backwards. Or the weight would come forward so I don't fall backwards.
Got it. That sounds good. Michael is 24 years old and blind. And his question is, every day I try to do the treadmill for an hour and I do crunches, push-ups, and squats. Is this too much every day?
What is he doing every day again?
Treadmill for an hour.
Treadmill, I thought I heard.
I don't know how fast, he didn't say. And he also does crunches, push-ups, and squats.
I would just say, first of all, every day for an hour. I mean, there's so many things. Look, it's way better than nothing, but it's... Again, we're doing the same thing all the time. So your body is A, not going to adapt to any new stimulus. B, you've got repetitive stress because you're doing the same things over and over without proper recovery. So you're not getting the variety. You're not getting that the benefit of stress where you're adapting to new stimulus. You're not getting the recovery from these workouts. So it's just constant repetitive stress. And I would say, like, mix it up. Mix this up way more. And I don't know how long, how intensely you're training on that treadmill. If you're like in a slow walk or whatever, then okay. But you can be far more efficient with something like a HIIT workout where you're doing, and you can do HIIT workout on any piece of equipment and you can mix it up. So you could do stairs, you could do jump rope, you could do body weight stuff like burpees. You could do sprints on a treadmill, sprints on a row machine, sprints on a bike. You could do them for 20 on, 10 off. You could do them for 30 on, 30 off. You could do them for a minute on, 30 seconds off, so that you're getting that variety. And you train for 20 minutes of HIIT intervals, far more effective than an hour of the same thing over and over and over again. And yes, you should be working your entire body, but not just push-ups, sit-ups. Like, you should be mixing up those resistance moves too. So I would say, get my app.
I guess he pointed out being blind to, maybe he's limited with like equipment that, or if he's not at the gym. I'm not sure if that had something to do with it. But Michael, let us know.
But you don't need to. You can do all that stuff at home. A million different exercises. I have like 1,000 exercises on my app, and I'd say maybe 50 of them use equipment that's at the gym.
That's great. Sydney, what would your plan be for someone in recovery from bulimia? I need to get back in shape, but where should I start and how often do I work out given my history? My nutrition is pretty good since I have a dietitian, but I need to get exercise.
You know what, though? Here's the problem. Like, I can give you, again, like, this is, you know, talk to your doctor, like, get, you know, I can tell you what anybody would do. And that's the only way I can address this. I can't address bulimia because I am not an expert in this at all. You know, I would say the usual answer, right? Like, I would start you out at like, okay, let's do 4 half-hour a week or 5 20-minute sessions. If you're a beginner, let's start with a beginner workout. Do the beginner program in my app. Like, that's the answer for starting out with fitness. But you're, you know, when you frame it in like, I'm bulimic, as though there's... like, what if I get addicted to it? What if it makes me, what if it triggers me? Like, I can't address that. And I don't, not only am I not qualified, not only does it put me in a bad legal position, and don't get me wrong, it's not that I don't want to help, I do. But, you know, this is something that you would need to be working with somebody on. Like, I can only address it as a fitness expert talking to a beginner. And that's what I would do with a beginner.
Yeah. Well, that sounds good. And I think that will do it for our emails for this week.
Fine.
I thank you very much for your time and patience. And Seven, I thank you for not barking.
OK,
Okay, guys, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so you get it weekly. You don't even have to think about it on iTunes or Spotify or wherever else you're listening.